Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Everybody, welcome in to this week's edition of the 3&D podcast. It's part of the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network. I'm your host, Ben Hogan. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheGolfer. You can find the podcast and all the Grizzly Bear Blues podcasts on anywhere you can find podcasts. Starting Five, Core Four, Longview with Parker Fleming, and GBB Live with Joe Mullinax are the other podcasts a part of the network. Joining me this week on the 3&D pod, he is the producer of Rise and Grind. He is a part of the Odds Couple. He's HBCU Huddle. He does the Infield Fly. He does a little bit of everything over at Grind City Media. He is CJ Hurt. CJ.
What up, Hogan?
What's going on, man? I'm glad.
Man, I can't call it. You named everything almost. I'm pretty sure it's everything. That's all I'm claiming. Those four are the ones that I claim. I fill in and do a lot of other stuff, but that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, man, you're in a little bit of everything over there at Grind City Media. You're doing a great job. Love checking you guys out. Love working with you all sometimes at the Grizzlies games as well.
Yeah.
How is it over there being, you know, early in the morning?
In the morning it's so weird because I get there before everybody else.
Right.
And then my day is, as far as being at the office, my day is my day is definitely done before everybody else's, but then we all meet back up at the games, you know, so I might be at a Grizzlies game after leaving work at 2. Everybody else just stayed all the way through, ran into a bunch of people at the Hustle game as well, which if you hadn't been to a Hustle game, you need to go check that out. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, man, it's being up that early. I get to come in and kind of set the tempo and the pace of the day for everybody else, kind of, sort of. Not really. They don't even know that I'll be there. But that's a lie I tell myself.
But you've always kind of been an early riser, though.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Flint, working at Flynn, you got to be up, be at the station about 5:30, 5:40 to get everything set up for the day. Because the shows start at 6. And when they start, they don't stop, baby. They just keep rolling. So, yeah, being up early doesn't bother me.
And they depend on you to get everything started too.
Yep.
So they don't start without you, but you know, you got to be there on time. They will know if they don't start.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, man. Let's talk Grizzlies. We got a big week ahead. I know that if you're listening to this podcast, it's Tuesday, so tomorrow it's a big day for the Grizzlies. Not only are the Brooklyn Nets in town, but basically, so is all of ESPN, it feels like. ESPN dedicating the entire day to the Grizzlies. They'll have a who's who lineup of everybody at ESPN. You're going to have Jalen Rose, Stephen A. Smith, Adrian Wojnarowski. You're expected to see a lot of people at FedEx Forum setting up for the game against the Brooklyn Nets. Is there kind of a buzz going around FedEx Forum and, you know, all of Grind City for this week?
Oh, absolutely there is. And there's been a buzz since it was announced. And you got to think about it. Teams like the Grizzlies don't usually get this type of treatment. You know, this is a small market team. Yes, there's a budding superstar, if not already a superstar, in John Morant. but it's not often that ESPN sends everybody on that sports' coverage team to one spot. You know, sometimes it is, okay, hey, we'll do something in Dallas with the NFL because the Cowboys are there. Or sometimes it is, hey, since we're so close to New York City, we'll send MLB folks up to New York for a big time Yankees showdown or what have you. It's very, very rarely do we get this type of attention, not just in Memphis, but for small markets in general. Like I can't think, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder had Kevin Durant and James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And I don't remember ESPN being like, yo, we just got to get there. Even when James Harden left, it was still Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka was on that team, like a really, really good team with a couple of dudes you knew were going to be legit superstars. And I don't remember them getting something like this. I applaud ESPN for shining a light on a smaller market, a less glamorous market. But this comes down to, you know, John Morant. John Morant is bringing these people through because he is such a must-see type of dude. When you look at not just the numbers when the Grizzlies are on national television, but you look at the social media numbers as well, how he's driving that for the NBA. So great that ESPN is here, but let's not get it twisted. They are here because John Morant is that dude right now.
Yeah, but it is an all-hands-on-deck situation for ESPN. I mean, they're bringing their A-team with the NBA as well. You got Mike Breen, you got Hubie Brown, you got Malika Andrews. So you got everybody on the call for the Grizzlies. So it should be a fun time at FedEx Forum. And, you know, we do have the best TV broadcast in the business ourselves. Yeah. We're spoiled with Pete and Brevin and Fish, but it is also nice to see those other people, the national people, come down and get a little bit of that, because, you know, we always talk about the disrespect the Grizzlies get, especially being in a small market. And now is the time. Like, this is something that we've really never seen before. I mean, we had the grit grind era. People were paying attention. You know, it was kind of the underrated. We were getting some love. You know, Charles Barkley loved us because that's the way he played. And then Zach Lowe, like, he was the one that was writing these like analytic pieces that kind of propelled Marc Gasol to that defensive player of the year when he won that. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like, you know, they're fun to root for. They're a good story, but they're not as much fun as John Morant. I'll have to say that, because everybody, I'm just saying, like, we appreciated the grit grind.
Yeah.
But it was ugly basketball.
Yeah.
John Morant, like, you never know what he's going to do in the next game.
Yeah. Memphis embraced that sort of basketball because it was Memphis's team. Right. And it was successful, and it was fun to get under the skins of more glamorous teams. Think about Lob City, the Lob City Clippers, right? Yeah. It was more fun, not more fun, it was fun getting underneath the skin of these people who want to get out athlete you, run up and down the court, have really explosive offenses and so-so defenses, really struggle in the half court with the shot clock waning down. Like, that was fun for this city because there was success to it.
Right.
This basketball is just fun. Success is there also. Success always makes the style of play a bit more fun. But listen, man, the way they are catching lobs and finishing at the rim, the spectacular things Ja Morant does with his handles. You got Jaren Jackson Jr., somebody who I think might be legit 7 foot. Shot faking and pitting the ball on the floor, going past dude, Euro stepping, finishing at the rim. Steven Adams and some of the passes he makes going back door, not to mention the full court lob pass to John Morant for that buzzer beater, right? You're getting more Grizzlies highlights in a game right now than most teams get in a week, a month, some of them a whole season. When you stop and think about it, it's a lot of fun watching these Grizzlies play, and it certainly helps that they are playing a fun style of basketball and winning a bunch of games. You got the two go hand in hand. You can't just be fun and losing, and you don't want to be really good and kind of not fun. Otherwise, the attention doesn't come to you the way the attention is coming to this Grizzlies team with ESPN bringing everybody down for the Brooklyn Nets game.
Now, we're talking about the media coverage the Grizzlies are getting, and when you have a player like John Morant and this style of basketball, you get a lot of people that fall in love with your team. I mean, Kendrick Perkins has been on top of it basically since the get-go. I mean, he's been very big on promoting Ja and talking about all these guys and everything. But you also get some things like Stan Van Gundy tweeted over the weekend, you know, after the win against Houston on Sunday, it was like, well, the Grizzlies, they didn't have Ja Morant, but they're 14-2 without Ja Morant. And he just tweeted out like, you know, hey, you know, the Grizzlies are with 14-2 without Ja Morant and they're winning big. And, you know, they're easily the most dominant team in the league without Ja Morant. And obviously when you do Twitter and you tweet something out, there's no tone to it. There's no, you know, there's, you can't really convey your message sometimes. Do you think that was one that he's trying to prove a point that, you know, Ja Morant's not that important to the team? Or do you think he's just saying that, like, the Grizzlies are scary no matter who's out there for him?
Because there's no tone. I take it as a ladder, right? I think that it is people marvel when you are successful without the stud. You know, and Ja Morant very clearly is that guy for the Grizzlies. Ja Morant very clearly is one of the best players in the whole NBA in a very short amount of time. So you would imagine, hey, this team is built around Ja, and it is. You would imagine that they would struggle a bit with no Morant in the lineup. And for them to be 14-2, I think we get national media and fans, myself included, kind of just marvel at the fact that this team is still able to find a way to get the job done without Ja Morant on the court, without all the spectacular plays that he brings, without him setting up the offense and truly setting the tone and the tempo for the team. That's what I think Stan Van meant by the tweet. But that could, again, be just because that's how I feel about the 14-2. You know, somebody very easily on the other side could say, hey, 14-2 shows Ja Morant's not MVP or Ja Morant's not that important to the team. Why you would feel that way is a you problem, not a Stan Van problem. Right. Like that is you with the backwards thought, not Stan Van Gundy. That's not what he's saying. He's just, hey, here's the stat without Ja Morant. You make of it what you will.
I will take Ja Morant rather than not having Ja Morant. I'm going to just put it at that.
Most people would, Hogan.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Grizzlies' success, not only with, you know, they haven't been playing the best teams. A lot of the good teams were missing guys. I think Philly was missing Embiid when they beat them. I think there were a few other ones in which Dallas was missing Luka. So there's a lot of things that go into that to make that work. But also the play of Tyus Jones and Desmond Bane and the games in which Ja's missed, I think those two guys have stepped up more than anybody. I mean, Tyus Jones is kind of having a career year being the backup for the Grizzlies as he stepped in, and the Grizzlies offense really doesn't miss a beat. I mean, there's a different feel to the offense when it's Tyus over Ja, obviously, but it feels like the offense keeps flowing. You know, Desmond Bane's getting his shots and Dylan Brooks, who's just recently returned, he's getting his and, you know, everything like that. So it kind of feels like Tyus Jones is able to just step in and the Grizzlies offense keeps humming.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why you want a dude like Tyus on the team, because he does step in and keep the offense going. And you love watching Ja Morant play because he gets downhill and gets in that paint and he's going to finish at the rim. Well, Tyus, not the athlete that Ja is, and that's not an insult to Tyus. He's just not. Tyus can get into the paint as well, though. When he gets into the paint, somebody else is going to finish. Somebody else is going to dunk on you. Somebody else is catching the lob. Somebody else is standing open at three. You know, this is a very, for their age, you know, they're really young, but this is a very, very crafty, wily sort of team. And Tyus Jones exemplifies that to perfection, where he just finds a way to make the play. He's not jumping over you. He's not blowing by you that damn fast. You're definitely going to be able to help and recover, but he finds a way to make the next pass. And from that sets up the rest of the offense. Once Tyus gets by you, once Tyus makes that first pass, it is boom. Now, is this guy open? Okay, here comes rotation. Swing it. Somebody's wide the hell open somewhere. Like that is what Tyus Jones means to the team and why this team continues to roll, even though Ja Morant hadn't been on the court for 16 games.
Yeah, and you talked about the way this team is constructed being very young, but they're also very mature. And I think that's when Ja's out, the roles kind of change just a little bit. I think when Ja, it feels this way when Ja's playing, it's like they're not all staying around waiting for Ja to do something.
Yeah.
They kind of understand, like, all right, well, let's see what Ja feels on this offense. And then they kind of react and respond to it. I mean, they'll run their offense and everything. And, you know, sometimes they'll run it through Steven Adams and, you know, he's got that and he'll make a dump off pass and everything like that.
But Hogan, I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, you're fine.
Can we talk about this version of Steven Adams and how much I enjoyed this version of Steven Adams? We were robbed of this. This should be an NBA sin right here to have a dude like Steven Adams who is capable of making great passes out of the post, of not just setting solid screens and just standing there hunting screens down, but setting screens rolling, finishing at the rim, chasing out offensive rebounds. Like we were robbed. Steven Adams makes some amazing backdoor passes. And every time he does it, I think, damn, why didn't he do this more in Oklahoma City, damn it?
Right.
Like, why didn't they use him more like this in New Orleans? This Steven Adams is one of the better playmaking bigs in the NBA. And I have to believe, Ben, that he is a step or two outside of his prime. So imagine him being in his prime, having these types of playmaking skills. Maybe, just maybe, you don't blow that lead to the Warriors 3-1 the year before Kevin Durant leaves, right? Like you got that dude there to help facilitate an offense for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Maybe it's just maybe it's not, hey, throw the ball to Kevin Durant, let him go one-on-one. Throw the ball to Russell Westbrook, let him go to one-on-one. Maybe you could throw the ball to Steven Adams back in this scenario. I'm so excited about Steven Adams, I can't talk. Maybe, just maybe, you throw the ball to Steven Adams in the high post and you let dudes move and cut off of Steven Adams so you get better shots, open shots. I can't imagine that Golden State had anybody who could guard this version of Steven Adams, right? So you create more easy opportunities for year two stars in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and who knows? Maybe everybody's still in Oklahoma City then.
I don't know if everybody's in Oklahoma City. I think Russell and Durant, I don't think, would have been able to last this long in Oklahoma City together. But, it is a decent thought.
With the playmaking Steven Adams, though? Like, maybe. Serge Ibaka's running around out there?
Yeah, like, Thabo Sefolosha is still starting in an NBA.
Where's Sefolosha?
I don't know. But no, you got to give credit to Taylor Jenkins on that too, because it seems like he's been able to unlock the strengths of every player on this team, finding out exactly what they can bring to this offense and kind of make it piece by piece and work it together. We still see some funky lineups out there every once in a while and everybody's like, why, you know, but he's still trying some things out. But I do think that the Steven Adams that we see in Memphis, like, honestly, when they get traded Jonas and brought in Steven Adams, I was like, okay, that's a downgrade at center, but I know what they're trying to do. So, you know, I'll be patient on it. And, you know, I won't overreact on the fact that the Grizzlies just traded, you know, Jonas and the guy that was kind of their leading scorer for many of the games in which, you know, Ja wasn't able to be. And he kind of felt like, is he part of the future playing Jonas or is he not? Well, that they answered our question in the offseason. And a lot of the talk in the offseason was like, okay, well, Steven Adams, cool, but is this kind of a situation to where we can start moving Jaren to the five and see what we have with that and maybe see, you know, if they need another four or if Brandon Clark can step in or Xavier Tillman, what we got. But this Steven Adams, you can't – he's a starting five. You know, he's legit.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am pleasantly surprised because I just thought of him as that dude they got Zebo suspended for the playoff game. And I know everybody's like, that's childish to still hold that against him. I was like, I'm not holding it against him, but that's what I think of when I see Steven Adams.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, listen, it was a big moment for the Grizzlies trying to get back to the Western Conference Finals. And Zach Randolph gets suspended 7 games for a push to the face with his fist. Like, it wasn't a punch. Zach wanted to punch him. Zach wanted to punch him. Zach went 75% through the punch. And then when his fist touched Steven Adams' cheek, he's like, oh, no, I shouldn't do this. And he kind of just mushed him, kind of just pushed him with his fist.
Yeah.
So Zach definitely wanted to punch him. But, yeah, I get thinking about that moment with Steven Adams because nobody used him like this. If somebody had to use Steven Adams like this, we would have forgotten entirely about that moment and been like, yo, this is one of the best playmaking bigs in the NBA? What can he do? How much can he help your team? What should the Thunder at the time be doing to use him more effectively? Seth Alosha retired, actually. He retired 2021 in March.
Okay, well, congratulations and happy trails, Thabo. I'll never forget that you were the guy that started over James Harden for Oklahoma City when they were playing the Grizzlies. I never understood it. I mean, I know you need that scoring off the bench, but just, I don't know. I mean, we see what James Harden is now. Who knows? I mean, they made it to the finals. So what do I know?
Honestly. Surprised they didn't call Seth Alosha up for a 10-day. You remember that period in time in the NBA where everybody was getting a call up?
Joe Johnson, like,
man.
Speaking of Jamal Crawford, he announced his retirement.
One of the great ISO ballers, baby. Shout out to that Wolverine.
I can't believe that there's not a contender that hadn't decided to, like, hey, you want to come play for a little bit? Because that dude's just
a bucket.
Points. Yeah. He's just points off the bench.
Come give us 12 to 15 minutes. What the Grizzlies did with Gilbert Arenas, remember that? They brought Gilbert in but they brought him in about this time in the season just because they needed more production out of a backup point guard. I'm like, yo, Gilbert, you give us 15 minutes, man, we'll be good. And Gilbert did. He played real well in his limited role with the Grizzlies.
What if this is just a ploy by Jamal Crawford being like, teams forgot about me. I'm going to announce my retirement.
Now they'll remember.
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. Listen,
I hated Jamal Crawford playing against him because you knew, like, anytime that shot was going up, you're like, that's going in.
Oh gosh. Man, Jamal, one of the people who not only we knew that about, right?
Right.
We work in sports. We knew that about Jamal Crawford. Fans of various teams that he played on and opposing teams knew that about Jamal Crawford, but players know that about Jamal Crawford. The respect that he has in the league is up there with some of the greats, and it's because he came in and did his job, and he knew what his role was, and he executed that role to the very best of his ability.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk real quick about the week that was for the Grizzlies. They went 2-1, finished off a 4-game road trip at 3-1. The loss against Atlanta, not necessarily what you really want to see. Ja Morant leaves with an injury. I think he's okay. I think he should be good for the Brooklyn game. I haven't seen an update on that, but I think he was just I know he sat out against Houston. I think that was another day of rest, and they ended up winning that one as well. Every game's important now, and so going 3-1 on that road trip against the teams that you went against, I mean, that was necessary. You couldn't afford a 2-2 road trip. 3-1, it's about where you want to be. What's your takeaway from that road trip?
That the Grizzlies are good. They go out there and they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. And that's what good teams do. And if you happen to be record-wise one of the two or three best teams in the NBA, that means that you can't be out here losing a bunch of games to the Pacers and to the Rockets. I know they slipped up against the Hawks, but nobody's perfect.
Right.
Also, Jaren Jackson Jr. is this team's greatest mismatch. Ja Morant is the star. Ja Morant is spectacular. Don't get me wrong. But we don't make seven-footers who move the way Jaren can move and who can shoot or whose shot you have to respect the way that you have to respect Jaren Jr.'s shot and who is a rim protector the way that Jaren Jackson Jr. is rim protector. Jaren Jackson Jr. is like he's a creative player. He's a 2K creative player, but you've got two or three different types of players rolled into this one dude.
Right.
So not only is he a shot blocking specialist, but he's also a three-level scorer. You know, not only is he a really good interior defender, but he can put the ball on the floor and go by you. And we don't make a lot of dudes like that. Think about what Clint Capella is. Another rim running big, really good contesting shots at the rim, but he's not putting the ball on the floor going by anybody. Same thing with Rudy Gobert. He's not going to shoot a three that makes you think, oh my gosh, I need to get out there. I need to get out there to contest this Rudy Gobert three, right? So I think Jaren is this team's biggest mismatch. And as long as he can stay out of foul trouble, which we hadn't had to say a ton this year, this team is up there can compete with anybody in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is with foul trouble. Like if he picks up fouls early, like against Houston, he didn't play that much in the first half, picked up three quick fouls. But that second half, short memory, you know, he came out and he was a stud in the second half. He led helped lead a nice charge with the Grizzlies, and that's what you're going to need from Jaren Jackson Jr. Also, real quick on this this past week, it was also a good time for them to bring back Dylan Brooks, I think. They reinserted him into the lineup. I think it's good to get him his legs underneath him as the playoff push goes. They got 10 more games left. This week is not an easy week, and they have really 10 games to get Dylan Brooks like back adjusted to the entire lineup before the playoffs start. Do you think that's going to be difficult, or is it just going to be like old times?
I think it'll be like old times. I think that the system in place, the culture that is in place with the Grizzlies right now is a really, really good one. And it's evident not just in Ja Morant's rise or the fact that the team is 14-2 without Morant, but in how the individuals are playing and shining in this system. We spent 3 or 4 minutes talking about Steven Adams's play in this system, right? You can do the same thing when you stop and think about Conchar. We think about what Zaire as a rookie has been able to do. When you stop and take a look up and down this roster, DeAnthony Melton, how he's been playing, Desmond Bain, how he's been playing. You can look at individuals playing within this system and say comfortably, hey, while I might not know the best way for this player to be used, I do trust Taylor Jenkins to figure it out so that this player is being used to all of that player's potential without being a detriment to the team. And so I think it'll be fine. I am interested. I'm just not sure if you can roll out this deep in the playoffs. You may have to, depending on who shows up and who doesn't. So you'll need a base 6 or 7. No matter what, I can count on these 7 dudes. And I think of the 7 dudes you need to count on this team, Dylan Brooks is absolutely going to be one. We saw what he was able to do last year against the Jazz in the playoffs in that series. I think Dylan lives for these types of games or those types of games and those types of moments. And I think he gives you, outside of Ja, the best big time performer in a big time scenario. So I think it'll be fine. It'll be seamless.
The Grizzlies have a tough week ahead. Brooklyn, Wednesday night, back-to-back with Indiana. All these are home. They have a 4-game homestand. Brooklyn Wednesday, Indiana Thursday, Milwaukee Saturday, and then the Warriors Monday. Obviously, the biggest one is Monday. I know the Brooklyn game is all about, you know, ESPN and everything like that and being showcased and national TV and all that. And then Milwaukee, you know, they are the defending champs. But Golden State's the big one. You're 1 game up on them in this for the 2 seed, and I know there's like, you know, the 2 and 3 seed, you're not only playing for the 2 seed, but you're getting that home court in the second round if y'all both advance. You're getting a team that had to play 1 game before you. So, you know, maybe they're a little bit exhausted. They don't have as much time to prepare for you because they had to play that other game in the play-in game. So there's a lot of different advantages that you can gain by just getting that 2 spot over the 3 spot. What will the Grizzlies, like, is 2-2 during this 4-game homestand okay as long as you get the one against Golden State? Or does it have to be, you feel like it has to be 3-1, including the Golden State win?
I think 3-1 is special. I think 2-2 is fine. 2-2, as long as it's the Golden State win.
You get Indiana and Golden State. One of those.
I think you're good to go. But this is where you begin to put some separation between yourself and Golden State. And you can do that this week now. It's not going to be easy. You named off all the teams they had to play. The only like team below 500 in these next 4 games is Indiana. But still, you still got to find a way to go out there and get the job done. And you're gearing up for the playoffs. So you want to be playing good teams heading into the playoffs. so that if there are some kinks and things you need to work out, you get it exposed now so that come playoff time, you can work through it and figure it all out. It helps to have to play the Bucks. It helps to have to play the Nets. It helps to have to play the Warriors this late in the season. And they are all real good, but they're good in different ways. And so it is, hey, with the Nets, you got to have an answer for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, your best answer. Well, hell, should you get matched up with Dallas, you're going to have an answer for Luka. Like they're going to play that style of play. It helps to play a Milwaukee Bucks team, which has an inside dude as dominant as Giannis, while the perimeter players and Drew Holiday and Middleton can really get up in you and make plays offensively as well. And you're going to need to be able to handle a team that plays like that with the ball flying around the court, constantly moving. You're going to need that because that's how the Jazz play.
Yeah.
No, that ball is flying around the court. So you're going to need that. And of course, the Warriors are what the Warriors are. And we know that if this is going to be, somebody's going to be the two, somebody's going to be the three. Well, then the next round, you've got to play Golden State. And so while the Grizzlies, I don't have their home and road record pulled up in front of me, but I do believe they're a bit better on the road than they are at home. But this isn't the playoffs, you know. So if you're playing them in the playoffs, you want every conceivable advantage you can get in a playoff series with the Golden State Warriors. And that includes a home court advantage. So that game is important as well. And you throw Indiana in there for giggles, I guess. I don't know. They're just there.
I mean, I know Steph Curry is he's out, but you don't need to take the team lightly. I mean, Golden State, the Grizzlies got some help from the Spurs Sunday night. So the Grizzlies are a game and a half up on Golden State. But, you know, they have Orlando Tuesday night. And then they got Miami. That's obviously a tough game. Wednesday, then they got Atlanta. That's kind of I don't know. Like Atlanta's been hit or miss all season. I mean, we've seen that with them. And then you got the Wizards the night before they take on the Grizzlies. So a pair of back-to-backs in there for the Warriors. Some games easier than others, but yeah, the Grizzlies just definitely need to go and take care of business. And don't give them any breathing room, because you just got to take that two seed. You got to take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Grizzlies, I just looked 24-10 at home, 25-13 on the road. So it's not a drastic, noticeable difference between home record and road record. But come playoff time, you want that home crowd there. We've seen what the home atmosphere is like at FedEx Forum, especially this 2020 year when everybody started getting back out there and doing stuff. And you can feel the vibe change. And it does feel like a hostile environment for teams to come play in.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because it's the attendance has gotten back to where it was around the height of the grit grind era. I know we keep comparing these, but I mean, it's kind of like the two.
It's on the only two successful eras, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had Hubie Ball. They made the playoffs then, but they tasted some playoff success with the grit grind era, and that was kind of laying the foundation of what we're seeing now. But I mean, you go there on a random Tuesday, and usually, you know, you get the season ticket holders. You get some people that are like, all right, well, you know, I'll go check out a game, or sometimes it's who they're playing. You know, you get a random Tuesday night against, I don't know, I'm not going to throw out a team there because I'm not going to put, okay, we'll say Indiana. Let's just throw Indiana.
There we go. That's a great one to throw out there.
You throw out Indiana. I imagine it's going to be at least three quarters full. It'll be a Thursday night game, following a big emotional game against Brooklyn. I bet you it'll be three quarters full at least on a random Thursday. And we just didn't see that. I would expect, you know, packed house against Brooklyn, packed house against Milwaukee, and packed house against Golden State. But it's that Indiana game that was always like, feels like it was lacking a little bit. Those type of matchups. We're not seeing that anymore. It's people want to get their ticket. They want to go see Ja Morant. They want to root on the Grizzlies. And you're also seeing that a lot more too. Like the Golden State game, it was like mixed with, you know, cheers and boos whenever Steph Curry would hit a shot. Now it's like the cheers are getting drowned out by boos because the Grizzly, there's so many more Grizzly fans than Warrior fans, and they're tired of it. You know, it's it is what it is. That's kind of how it feels. It's like the disrespect. Yeah. You know, you've never been to Oakland or San Francisco or whatever. I mean, I get it. I'm a Raider fan. I've been to Vegas, never been to Oakland, but you know. It's like, you know, you got that vibe around. It's everybody's on board, and it's great.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun. So not to shamelessly plug the Grizzlies, but you might want to go get you a ticket, dog, and go check that out. We can sit up here and try and describe what it's like inside that arena, but we're not going to do it justice, man. It's just something that you have to experience and feel for yourself. What's the number? 901-888-HOOP?
Yes.
That's 3 8s and a hoop. Give them a call, man. Get your tickets.
Exactly. 901-888-HOOP or click grizzlies.com.
Or do that, baby. Or do that. Many ways to go out there and find these tickets, y'all.
All right, CJ, I appreciate you coming on. Y'all got anything special coming up in the next week or so for Grind City?
I don't want to say too much, but there is some potential for some of your favorite ESPN personalities to join some of your favorite Grind City media shows, be it Rise and Grind with Jessica and Megan or the Chris Vernon show or anything that Kelsey Wright Johnson has going on and so on and so forth. So we are trying this week, like we try every single day and every single week, to try and bring the best content, the best guests, and the best coverage for your hometown, Memphis Grizzlies.
So it's one of those stay tuned situations.
Stay tuned, baby.
That's a good tease there, CJ.
That's what we call it in the industry, Ben. You know what's up.
Where can people find your stuff?
Grind City Media, grindcitymedia.com. Hop on YouTube, Grind City Media on YouTube. You can watch the shows there. You can also watch on grindcitymedia.com. Like I said, HBCU Huddle with me and Mike Wallace. You can check that out on grindcitymedia.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast from, whatever you use. I don't know what we're using for podcasts these days, but if you got podcasts on your phone, or on your computer, you can definitely find HBCU Huddle, man. Awesome. Oh, follow me on Twitter at conradicalness, CONRAD, and then figure it out from there. That's the best I got for you. A new underscore conradicalness on Instagram. Hop on there and check me out as well. And I think that's everywhere I'm at. Holla at me when you see me in the streets, baby. Come holla at your boy. I love getting stopped. I'm at the grocery store at Super Low, getting stopped by a dude who likes the work, man. So y'all see me out here, I'm friendly. Come holla at me.
That's always fun, man. I appreciate you giving me about 45 minutes of your time today. I know you're a busy man. We listed down everything that you're doing. So I appreciate you carving out a few minutes and checking in, talking Grizzlies with you, CJ.
Always a pleasure, Ben. Anything for you, homie. You know, MSL crew got to stick together, baby.
Exactly. That'll do it for this week's edition of the 3&D podcast here on the Grizzly Bear Blues Network. Until next week, thank y'all and go Grizz.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.